What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Invincible Podcast, probably the best superhero podcast in the universe. This is a show where friends talk all things Invincible, a comic book and animated series created by Robert Kirkman, Corey Walker, and Ryan Ottley. Today, we are going over episode 6. We've got our full thoughts and recap coming up. We've got a handful of emails hearing listener thoughts and what you guys thought of this episode. We've got the latest Invincible news, as well as continuing the Guarding the Globe coverage with our giveaway winners and hosting another giveaway. I am one of your hosts, Ryan, of course, and joining me, TJ. How are you doing?
Hello, it's TJ. I'm doing good, you know.
Nice.
I'm here.
And Bill?
Hello, it's Bill. TJ's got low blood sugar today, I think.
Yeah, you know. Haven't eaten yet.
You didn't eat yet.
No, yeah, I need a cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. And Wyatt in a great looking shirt.
This happened when I came to New York, where one of us had to change because
you showed up at the door and I like opened the door and it was like, oh no, oh no.
And I thought about it when I got dressed this morning, but I was like, you know, that we both have lots of shirts. What are the chances?
Of course.
And yet here we are.
Yep.
Here we are.
Oh man. So I am very excited for everyone to have seen episode 6. Seeing the reaction from episode 5 has been great because obviously we recorded our last episode before really taking in all the reactions for episode 5. And now I can't believe how big of a reaction. I mean, I can, but like Shrinking Ray and Duplicate, how big of a reaction that has gotten on the internet.
The TikToks are crazy. Like,
yeah,
there are a lot of people talking about it, which makes me so fucking happy.
And so much Shrinking Ray. So much. And people out there, like, you know, talking about how this is just the best character and can't believe they did it. And, like, loving on this character and how shocking this death was and everything. What'd y'all think of that? The fact that she's not dead? What?
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I can't wait to see now like that come around and see what how everybody reacts to that. It's gonna be awesome.
So. And just like we predicted before too, that like this is the era where people are gonna start understanding TJ's love for Rexplode. I've seen tons of like memes and TikToks of like talking about how like, oh, when your squad's all down and you gotta lock in on the game and then it just cuts to Rex in like fighting the Lizard League. I think a lot of people are starting to like fall in love with that character now too. It's really cool.
Oh yeah. And it's just even more so with this episode and the next one.
I feel like we're each gonna have like our area of like of the comic, like our favorite moments. And this is like my area where it's just so good right now. And you know, Ryan will have his Powerplex moments and Bill will have his Dinosaurus moment and Wyatt will, I don't know, Wyatt, what's your moment?
I don't know if I have a specific one. I mean, I'm going to be real excited anytime we get one of those big leaps with Oliver, which we now know him to be named Oliver.
And then can we all just, I mean, no spoilers, but can we all just collectively have the moment of anything with a character named Tara? I mean,
Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought DJ was going to say for Wyatt.
That is probably more mine, but I know that's like
way down the line.
Further.
I have a question for you.
She is a very
completely like kind of off topic, but I was thinking about it today and I want to ask it. So speaking of the animated show and like what we could be getting in the future and things like that, I don't know the answer to this question. We've been doing the podcast for 8 years, so might kind of know for Bill. So I'll start with Bill. When it comes to side comic book titles that are in the Invincible universe, which one is your favorite? It's between two for you, Bill. I know that, but Wyatt and Ryan, I don't know.
Side comic book character, like Wolfman, Tuck Jacket, that kind of thing?
Yep. Spawn, Walking Dead, in one panel, like that doesn't count.
Right. Yeah. I would have to give it to Wolfman for me.
Over Tuck Jacket?
From a character standpoint, I think I like Zach a little bit more in Tech Jacket, but from like an actual comic book like arc and story, I'd have to give it to Wolfman. And it's close. It's real close.
Yeah.
I think mine would be Wolfman as well, really close to Invincible Universe. Like I struggle with those with like Best Tiger and just getting to like really open up the can of this whole universe, literally, and like get to know all these other side characters and where they're at. And like, that is the kind of stuff that I love about Invincible, but Bill's right. Yeah. Like Wolfman has just got the whole package.
Yeah. Mine, I feel like Yeah, it is close. I really do like Invincible Universe, like you said, Ryan, of just like getting into all of the different characters and getting to see, you know, a broader scope of the universe. But I do love Tech Jacket. Like, I think I just love the aesthetic of Tech Jacket, too, of just mm-hmm. like space, robotic technology stuff is just kind of like my jam. So mm-hmm. I love Tech Jacket's probably my number one.
How about you, TJ?
I mean, you guys know, for me, it's not even close. Like, I mean, it's Wolfman. It's not even used for me.
Yeah.
I like Tech Jacket. I like Invincible Universe. Everything with what's her name in Invincible Universe that like she was like taken over, like her body was taken over. Like that storyline was incredible, and I always think about that when I think of Invincible Universe.
The boxing, well, she was the boxer girl, right?
Yeah.
Knockout
or no? Knockout?
No. It wasn't.
Oh no! She was the one who ran really fast.
Speedster.
And I forgot what it was. Shit. But anyways, all of that was great. Invincible Universe is great, but man,
yeah.
Wolfman was such a solid, complete story from beginning to end, and it just tapered off like, I hope we get
in a great way.
Yeah,
I hope.
Yeah, and it's very Kirkman too. It's very it feels like it's written by Kirkman. Listen,
we got a lot to talk about.
I know.
Sorry, I kind of derailed.
Talk about it.
No,
we talk about it a lot, but some people don't listen to every single episode. Some people start late. Listen, read Invincible Universe. It is very, 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 very good. If you guys have read all of Invincible, Guarding the Globe is good, but Invincible Universe is phenomenal. I think you have to read Guarding the Globe.
I was going to say, on our website, there is a reading guide of like our recommended, like when to read certain mm-hmm. things. If you're up to the point in Invincible, or if you have finished Invincible, jump into Invincible Universe. Definitely don't read Invincible Universe if you've only read a little bit of Invincible. But yeah,
I will say though, like,
yeah,
Astounding Wolfman, you can pick that up and read it, but you can't just pick up and read Invincible Universe. You have to read Guarding the Globe.
Yeah.
Before Invincible Universe.
Yeah.
One came before the other. And it continues the story. So yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a bunch to talk about. Remember, there are time codes both in the description if you're listening on audio, or if you're watching us on YouTube, there should be the chapter breakdown as well as the time codes underneath in the description. You could jump around to any of these parts that we've got coming up before our full episode 6 breakdown and recap. But a couple things of housekeeping real quick. We did play through the Fortnite Invincible raid, Doc Seismic Attacks. We had a great time. We were joined by one of the writers on the game and creators of the experience, Mike Rogers from Skybound, and had an awesome discussion with him. And then after we finished streaming, we realized that the audio wasn't coming through on the video or on the broadcast for some reason. Not sure why. We played it through again and re-uploaded that video with some, you know, a note in the beginning, and you could still watch that video and watch us attempt the Doc Seismic raid. But we talked to Mike Rogers, and he will definitely be coming on the show before long, and we're going to recap everything we talked about, and it was a great chat. So
it was such a good conversation too. So I mean, again, you know, hit like and subscribe on our YouTube page, because we will have him back.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
And then last thing before we get into some emails, we're dancing around it already, but we're not going to spoil things directly for things far into the future. However, we will be talking about episode 6 and maybe talking a little bit about things that are coming in this season or that we expect to come in the season as readers of the comic book. So if you don't want any light spoilers for what is happening right now in the comics at this point in the show, maybe tune out or check out the comics and then come back. This is just a light spoiler warning for you at the top. So let's jump into some emails. Remember, you can email us at theinvinciblepodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, the website. Bill's laughing. He can't help it.
I don't know. It's are you okay? It seems like you're just like...
Who, me?
Your words. Yeah, your words. I don't know.
Maybe words
are just funny to me today.
Sometimes words are hard, you know? Sometimes words are
Have
hard.
I been
hard.
Messing
they sound
up?
Like they're hard.
Have I been messing up?
I don't think so.
All right.
I didn't hurt anything.
All right. TJ, can you kick us off with the first email?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I can. All right.
Don't fuck it up, because I will obviously laugh.
Yeah, Bill's listening very carefully about how you read
me,
words, apparently.
You chose me to start it out after that.
Bill, you're on deck.
All right.
This one comes from Scott. Every time a new episode drops, I see everyone raving about it. This one's my top pick. He's putting quotes out there that he's seeing. This one's my top pick. Seriously, this beats the first episode. I'm buzzing with anticipation. But I can't shake the feeling that something's off compared to season one. And I think I've nailed it. Season one had that episode-by-episode story that introduced us to all the characters and plot twists. But it also had the ongoing mystery. Why did Nolan off the Guardians of the Globe? Every episode dropped new hints, tying the whole season together into one solid story. Season two, it's missing that one storyline that ties everything together. It feels more like the comic books, where stories start and wrap up in 2 to 4 issues. So it ends up feeling a bit scattered, for lack of a better term. I understand that all the storylines will amount to something eventually, but because of how they are doing it, it doesn't seem as cohesive as season one. I guess I'm just craving a beginning, middle, and end to the season wrapped up in a bow like season one had with the Nolan mystery. Is it just me, or was season one storytelling more put together than what we're getting in season two? Scott from Topeka, Kansas. Good thing we're not Greg Miller.
He doesn't like Kansas.
I think that is a very valid, opinion to have about it. But, remember,
I would even say
we talked about at the end of season one how season two, Invincible isn't a whodunit show. It's not a mystery. It doesn't have that thread. It's going to change and evolve. Yeah. And I think that for better or for worse, it's almost identical to the pacing of the comic, like you said. And
like he said,
it's not better than season one. I don't think I think it's better just because it's getting into the more loosey goosey kind of feel of Invincible. And if you've read the comic, you know that there are threads that are going to come that tie it together a little bit more cohesively with overarching themes and stories. But the theme here is Mark finding out
what kind of hero he is.
What kind of hero he is. So,
but it's not as cookie cutter, you could say, as season one. And we talked about that. Yeah. Season one, they had a really interesting opportunity to deviate from the comics and make it about this overarching mystery. And it worked out really well. And I think that was a great way to get people in and kind of ease them into this world. But yeah, now it's opened up and there's just so many different things going on that it is kind of going to go, I think, like this. And it does feel a lot more like the comic. And I like that. But I can tell you what you mean. And I think it, obviously we talk about it a lot. The gap didn't help, I don't think, with that feeling of it being a bit scattered. Cause now you come back after a few months and it's like, oh, right. Where were we? Okay. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Now we're getting back into this and but yeah, that's.
Yeah, I think one thing that probably contributes to that feeling too is that I'm sure as they were making season one, they didn't know if they were getting a season two. They kind of needed to make you feel like this is a story that's starting with episode one and ending with episode eight. And if that's what we get, that's what we get. But even so, season one had Kahoor and it had Sequids that didn't really finish that storyline. You know what I mean? I think it still had parts where it sort of jumped around and built in, ongoing stories that would carry forward into the next season. And I wonder if, especially by the end of season three, if we'll still feel that way about it, not being as solid, you know what I mean? Because they are, I'm sure, planning out seasons two and three together and to have that feel a little more complete. We're still kind of in the middle of all of it. We're in the nitty gritty of it. So
I know.
Yeah, I could see feeling differently by the end too.
I know this can be used as a bad thing, but I don't mean it in a bad way. But having that freak of the week type thing, we could talk about, episode four in season one, episode five, five being Titan and the Reanimate episode. And each episode kind of had its own thing. This one doesn't quite have that. We just had to kind of recap each other. And it's okay, this was this episode and these things happened in it, instead of it just being it was the Sequid episode.
Yeah.
It all kind of comes together.
Yeah. I think if Angstrom was in it more and each episode had him in it, it would feel like that common thread kept it together, but that's not how the comic is. And I read a really quick review. I think it was IGN actually. Just of the title header, it said that it wrapped up lingering things that we thought were going to be big things in a quick way. And it was almost refreshing. It didn't Nolan's on Thraxa, you know, and this is thinking like it as a whole so far, not the huge gap, but it's like, you don't get like, where's Nolan and yeah. will they, you know, rekindle? It's like, you get it, it's over. And then
it's,
you know what I mean?
It's going so just, at a quick pace.
Also,
yeah, it moves on quick.
Yeah. But the Angstrom for season two, looking at it, every time I see Angstrom, it's like, oh shit, I know what's coming. Mm-hmm. But looking at it from the perspective of somebody that didn't read the comic, Angstrom's big story was in episode one of season two, which was from our perspective now, because we are watching, like everybody's, I'm sure that's listening to this live time is like watched it back in November of 2023.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a long time ago. So now it's like, it's every time I see Angstrom, it's like, oh shit, like whatever's going on with him is going to be a big deal. But they have no idea,
yeah,
which is kind of cool way to come at it.
Really, really excited to talk about Angstrom after the whole season's wrapped. At this point, we haven't finished it, so that's not me alluding to anything. All right, Bill, take it away.
All right. I'm going to turn my brightness down a little bit. Holy moly. Who says it? I do. Note for note, I think episode 5 may have been the best to date. Fantastic character development, parentheses Rex. Some great emotional moments, parentheses, did a bug lady actually make me cry? Yeah, I did. And what might have been the most gruesome battle so far, parentheses, yikes. This string of issues has always been one of my favorites, and I think they knocked it out of the fucking park. Now that the Guardians are down to a couple members, do you think we'll see an expansion of the team? One of my Invincipals and I were theorizing who we might see join the team, and I'd love for you guys to chime in on this as well. The woman floating in the back, think that could be the doctor we see with Eve down the line? Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about
so
her.
So I sent you guys a picture of this, and they circled the two characters that he mentions here.
And up front, that could be the show version of Japandroid. Any others stand out to y'all? Continue kudos on giving us the best Invincible podcast in the universe, Murad.
So if you check out the image, it's when everybody is fighting Omnipotus, and there's the one in the green and white floating in the background, and then there's one.
She does look like her.
Yeah, she does kind of look like her.
Mm-hmm. And then there is one in an all black, like somewhat. It's not quite robotic, but it could be, and it has like this synthwave, like sunset type looking thing on it. That could be the show's interpretation of those characters. I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
listen, I really think, I want Tech Jacket, and I really do want Brit, and I want the team that we know, but I just don't think we're gonna get them.
I think I've kind of accepted that we're not, because as people know, Britt didn't show up at the Lizard League fight. Tech Jacket didn't show up on Omnipotus. I just don't think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It could. Yeah. It could surprise us. We could see it season finale.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it. I'm not holding my breath on this one. I'm normally not the pessimist here. TJ is, but I just don't think we're going to get him.
But I like what Murad's saying with these two. I think those are both good guesses.
Yeah, that's a great good catch with the doctor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think both of those characters are like minor enough characters that it's okay to kind of remix and reinterpret, you know, in a way that like, whereas we might not feel the same way if they were just like, here's a Tech Jacket stand-in who's not really Tech Jacket. You know, that would be a little harder to swallow. But taking some of the, like, I could see them using this moment where they have the extra heroes in here and like weaving them into characters that we might know in minor ways in the comic.
We talk about like Tech Jacket and Brit and Wolfman and everything, and we know that those are other comic book characters and kind of another IP, which is why it might be more difficult for them to show up in this show. However, what does that mean for Invincible Universe characters? Like, you'd think that those might be more like available. So I think we actually have a much better chance of getting people like Best Tiger than we do Brit or Tech.
Yeah.
The problem with that, from if I'm understanding correctly, is like those characters could have been co-created by somebody else, not just Robert Kirkman. You know what I mean? That's the problem, is like Tech Jacket is co-created by somebody. I don't know who else, maybe, but I mean, I don't know. But there's a Galdarian in the show.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Galdarian.
They don't say the word Galdarian,
though.
That's
where the tech jacket comes from. Yeah, but he's there. Yeah. So I hope that they have a plan to like match the camaraderie that, you know, Zach has with Alan and that whole thing.
Because
that's that's an important part of the show and the comic series. So I hope, but I don't think.
We'll see. All right, I've got one here. Hi, Bill, Ryan, Wyatt, and our reigning 2023 prediction champion.
Yes, sir.
Don't put that in the
email.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Again,
skip to the end.
This is Lewis, pronounced like Swiss, Cortez, with another email and doodle. I concur, episode 205 was the Rex show, and I loved it. I'm glad fans of the animated series will now begin to love Rex more, as he rightfully deserves. High five, TJ. I really enjoyed the speech Rex gave to Eve. It was a solid, emotional moment for Rex and Eve, original to the animated series, too. It both endears viewers to Rex and gives a satisfying, if momentary, resolution to Eve's inner conflicts this season. Also, kudos to Jason Mantzoukas for this episode. He not only nailed Rex's sassy attitude, as always, but he also killed Rex's despair and relief after Komodo Dragon bites off his hand and dies. Mantzoukas' delivery is my favorite part of the whole Lizard League scene. In response to a previous listener's question, I have been thinking about quotes I would love as episode titles. I listed them below. Some of them might be spoilery, so I understand if you read them on the podcast after season two is over. I'm going to. We're not going to read them now. However, I want you to write back, Lewis, and
remind
when
us
we do that episode, because I'm very excited about that episode. I'm not even really fully looking at the ones you suggested, but that's great. I love it. We're going to come back to that because that's a great idea. Lastly, I attach my doodle for episode 205. I hope Bill and Wyatt approve of the collarbone. I originally planned to draw baby Martian Shapesmith, but drawing babies is hard. That was Luis Cortez. Thank you, Luis. And you guys can look at your second image.
Wow, that's really good.
That's so good.
Isn't that
it's
great?
It's so good. That's fantastic.
Wow, look at that.
We will have this in the video version, of course, posted right now.
Nice.
If somebody told me that was a little like sketch card that Corey Walker did, I would be like,
it does look Corey Walker.
It looks so good.
I would believe it.
I remember thinking that last time Lewis had sent some in, that he has that kind of Corey Walker style.
Very cool.
And he did a really good job of the collarbones. And what is this? Lats.
Yeah.
That's
there you go.
I don't know. I don't know.
Alan did not have those before he got shredded by Viltrumites. He gained lats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good job. Those look great.
Yeah,
that's how you got to get them.
Very good.
That's how you want to get lats.
All right. And then we've got our final email. Wyatt, if you could take that one. I did send that to you, right?
Yeah, okay, I have it.
TJ, are you enjoying all the fucking love that Rex is getting and all the love that you're getting in, like, as a side effect of it?
I've been saying this for 8 years. People just needed to give him a chance. And it's time. It's time. So, yes, I am bathing in the Rexplode love right now. Absolutely.
You can tell.
The era of
Rex.
The era of
Rex. Glowing. You're glowing, TJ.
I have a lot of
glowing like a
right
boomstick, you know? All right, my email. Hey guys, having your 8-year anniversary when the show premieres again is just the biggest fuck you to whoever said you'd run out of stuff to talk about on the podcast. Vindication is sweet, especially when delivered by your own hand. But anyway, the episode was amazing and grotesque. I think they really captured agony well, which is hard to communicate on paper. However, I think most of all, it was incredibly depressing. The entire episode, Mark is essentially going through culture shock. The beginning of this episode when he was rebuilding is probably the first time we've genuinely seen Mark happy in this entire second season so far. Thraxa was essentially rehab therapy for Mark. His endeavors are similar to that of Earth, where he partially assisted in destroying a civilization, but the lack of blame and forgiveness the Thraxians chose to pursue instead of judgment was probably so profound for Mark. Then his efforts of rebuilding are directly affecting the people he endangered, as opposed to chipping away at small-time crime to atone for his actions. I can imagine it was incredibly cathartic and healing for Mark, which made it sad to see him go. That's true. I didn't think about that being like part of the reason why he wanted to stay, is because like nobody blamed him. Everyone was like, hey, you know, we don't assign blame. Everything's good. Like,
and he's just helping people. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. He says, now I love Debbie, but she's being a fucking Debbie Downer. When Mark first enters the scene, he's smiling, looks relaxed, and is genuinely happy to see his mom. By the end, his head is in his hands and he's stressed. Listen, I sympathize with Debbie here, okay? We can't all just be off on an alien planet helping out and doing all of that stuff. Now I love
Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
Mark has gotten so used to the Thraxian culture of no blame and continuing forward to make his things better, and Debbie just piled everything that brings Mark down back on his shoulders again. Humans get so caught up in the problems and get angry and push back when the solution affects them. The Thraxians saw a child that needed help, and the immediate response was to do what's best for it. No questions asked. When Mark wanted to follow a similar path by taking a break from college, Debbie shut it down. I think this definitely starts planting the seeds of Mark feeling less and less attached to Earth, but it also begs the question, are lifespans wasted on the ungrateful? That's something I'm going to need to talk to my therapist about. That's
holy cow.
Mark's culture shock continues throughout the episode with Amber, Cecil, and Eve, but I think I've made my point, i.e. this email is really long, lol. Can't wait for episode 6 and what you guys think. Keep on rocking for another 8 years or 15 years or however long it takes for someone else to take over the podcast and run it.
Ruin
Either
it.
Way, Ruin we'll it. All be listening. Stay awesome. Love, Chris.
Yep.
And then Chris attached a doodle. Well, which is our next.
Can we look at this one now?
Yes. Yes. So he drew a baby shaped
baby Martian,
which is literally
literally
what Lewis said he originally planned to draw, but drawing babies is hard.
That is awesome.
They gotta team up.
Chris is not a great artist. This is known. This is well known. I feel really uncomfortable looking at this picture. Like, this is the scariest Martian baby I have ever seen in my entire life.
It's giving me Death Stranding vibes, Bill.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You will understand
that weird, uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah. Well, that does it. Remember, you can email us at theinvinciblepodcast@gmail.com. Send us your doodles for episode 6. We'll show them off at the start of next episode. Now we're going to go over to our new segment. First up is, obviously, we talked about at the top of the episode, the Doc Seismic Attacks raid and the GDA combat training are live in Fortnite. That was a nice surprise, having that GDA combat training thing there.
Yeah.
Robot was there talking, and you get to try out a bunch of different weapons and just, you know, go crazy. That was fun.
Yeah.
The show is still at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, even after the second wave of reviews came out.
Amazing.
And of course was number one on Prime over the weekend.
I think it stayed number one on Prime throughout all first four episodes, right?
Yeah,
it was number
I'm
one
assuming
the
that'll
time.
Happen again.
Yeah I think so too.
It does sort of makes me laugh too that I have seen an occasional post on like Twitter where someone's like, man, they shouldn't have taken a break because look, nobody's talking about Invincible anymore, and that tweet has like thousands and thousands of likes on it, and it's like, all right, maybe
I know.
They were just still a little upset about how you had to wait for another episode, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I get it.
I know. Next up, the Invincible statue from Connecticut's, you know, the one that has the Omni-Man one as well, went up for pre-order. It's out and available now to pre-order. It's I think I found the price at $759. It's insane looking. Looks great. Awesome if you can get a copy. Get one of these. I didn't realize. I thought it just looked that way, but the bottom is LED and is lit up. That explosion that he's flying away from.
That's cool.
Yeah, DJ,
that's
come cool. on. $750, dude.
Bruh.
Come on.
That's our trivia trophy. That's our trophy. If we get it, that passes around whoever wins trivia.
I thought we were doing that with Omni-Man.
The predictions one. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We'll need
once for predictions, once for trivia.
Yes, there we go.
We have a dual league happening.
There we go. I like it. There has been posted over on, I want to say, Instagram and on Skybound Insiders. Ross Marquand has a behind the scenes video out there of him doing the voice of both Rudy and the Immortal in the same scene. So that was a fun little video to watch as he kind of switches between the two characters in the same scene.
He's really good. Even just seeing how he has to animate himself, like to, you know, harness the characters. It was really good.
Yep. We got to meet Mark, or we got to meet him, Ross Marquand, last year, and he was awesome. And he took so much time to talk to us, and it was just such a good conversation. And like, I mean, we talked with him for a good long while. So
yeah, we gotta look up when he's coming out this way again. He told us to reach out next time he does.
Yeah.
Ooh, at one of the conventions that are happening around here. Yeah, I know. And then lastly, we've got, as of this recording on Tuesday night, they just released the episode 6 teaser video, as well as the Cecil text messages with the teaser images. I thought they did a good job with the teaser video. It shows nothing. It's pretty much just like the first couple seconds of the next episode. So that was pretty cool that they're holding it back. We'll see. I don't know if they'll do another full trailer the closer we get. But that was pretty neat. So, and then lastly, we've got our winners for the Guarding the Globe mobile game giveaway that we did last week.
We had a lot of entries too. People were very excited about it.
So remember, you're going to be winning 5 hero dossier, the ones that allows you to get all 5 characters in the store. The 3 winners that we picked to each get 5 of those dossier are Thesemir. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce Thesemir.
Hey, Thesemir.
Tech Jacket. So Tech_Jacket.
That's easy.
And Agent Jules. So those are the 3 user IDs that will be getting those sent over to you. They should show up in your account.
Cool.
Congratulations.
And we will be doing it again. So leave a comment in this video as well. This time with your player ID, you know, the name that is assigned to your character that you create in the Guarding the Globe mobile game. But also, let us know who your highest ranked character is, just for fun. You don't have to do that, but I'm curious. Who's your highest ranked character right now? And let's see who it is. We'll be picking again by Tuesday. So you pretty much got this weekend that this video goes up to submit and leave a comment. And we'll pick new winners for next week. But now that we are talking about it, and it is the weekend, by the time you're hearing this, Battle Beast is out. So that was pretty cool. We got to check him out. If you guys want to talk about him, I'm going to pull up our screen here. There we go. So yeah. One of the cool things I wanted to bring up about him was his skills. Did you guys get to look through these yet?
I didn't look through.
I didn't even think to look through them because I could only level him up so far. Yeah. So I didn't even think to look through his other skills.
So first, his basic skill is Claws Out, where he puts the mace down and just attacks with his claws. The second one, and now this is what I mean. Like, this was made by people who know these characters. The second one, Brothers in Battle, when he's fighting against Viltrumites, he gets a bonus, like he steals life.
Nice.
So cool.
Bring the Pain, which is just he applies wounds to characters that they slowly take damage. But then the last one, Worthy Opponent. If the person that he's fighting is over 75%, he actually gets a buff and gets stronger, but his defense goes down too, because
I almost spoiled it, but yeah, I didn't.
Exactly. So that's pretty cool that they put that kind of that air into it. But it's been fun. The last event
maxed out right now, 140. But
nice.
Yeah, need another Battle Beast to upgrade him. So
that's right.
I know. So I'm very excited for this weekend to hopefully get a second one to start leveling him up.
The last event was pretty cool. I got a bunch of those Guarding the Globe bracelets. I got that one leveled up pretty high. Level 5 on that. And right now going on this weekend is also the Obedience Collar, which is the thing the Maulers put on the Immortal. That event should be happening this weekend as well. And they did a big update to the app too and put Doc Seismic in the game. So you can now see Doc Seismic in Turning Up the Heat and check him out while you're playing through
Very
that.
Very cool.
So yeah, that's that. Pretty excited to see what's coming next down the line. We've got
your screen sharing and it's Walter.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The last event having the one a bunch of the lab currency that was pretty nice as well, because a bunch of things to reroll, but been enjoying it. We're kind of reached the point in the alliance where I think we just started region 11 kind of hitting a wall. This is getting pretty tough.
Yeah, I just tried, actually. I just, while we were sitting here, I tried to battle because it popped up again and we lost.
TJ, how far is your Aquarius
Dude, it is maxed out at 200. I'm the pink with the border.
Nice.
So, yeah. Nice.
And I just got a second.
Yeah, I just got my I just got my my highest character right now is the pink with the border, and it's one of the maulers. And it's just because like I happened to get enough that I was like, oh wait, I can upgrade. Oh, I can upgrade him. So now
I saw you added him to the alliance.
Character. Yeah, because he's a higher level right now than my invincible. Yeah, I haven't gotten enough invincibles. So
and a solid range character too. Now we got the mauler with the machine gun and Rex in the back row, just taking care of things.
That's what I was thinking. Yep. Is adding some Works range out. In there.
That's right. All right, so. We will be doing another giveaway. We'll pick the three winners in the comments to win five of those dossier if you leave a comment below. And like I said, who's your highest ranked character? And we'll pick them by next episode. So that does it. We're now going to go in and talk all about episode 6. It's not that easy, right? It's not that simple.
Not that simple.
It's not that simple. So very excited to talk about this one. This was a really good episode. And we'll be back next week to talk about that one. So for now, take it away. What's up, everybody? Here we are. We are now going to talk all about episode 6. It's not that simple. Very excited to do the recap on this one. But first, before I get to my thoughts, I want to hear what you guys thought. Give us some of your quick initial impressions. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I'll be quick too. It felt like we're back to it now. Cause last episode was, you know, how we all talked about that. This was all good the whole way through. Fantastic episode.
TJ?
Yeah, go ahead, TJ.
I thought episode 4 was heavy. Obviously everything that happened, there was, honestly, it was like, I felt like we needed this episode because episode 4 was heavy.
Episode 5, you mean?
No, episode 4. The
Oh, okay. I see what
you're saying. Like on Thraxa and everything, the fighting, all that stuff that was going on. Everything that was going on with Debbie was super heavy. Last episode, it was all like coming back to it. Like here, like Marcus back home. I felt like we needed this episode. This episode was funny throughout. It was still crazy, and we got like multiple different things for Invincible comic fans and non-comic fans alike.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what you guys said already, that it does feel, this was the episode that really felt like it's back, like Invincible is back. And I got that real, like, not to say the last episode wasn't exciting, but we talked about it being kind of a slower start compared to like a season premiere. And this one had a little bit of everything. It had the like action and the gore and the shocks, and it had so much humor, like way more humor than I was expecting. Even it had so many great like music cues as well, that like it this episode again reminded me how great the show does like music and needle drops into the show. And it's made me really, really excited to see what these last two episodes hold as we keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys said it. I mean, the action, the humor, the emotion that is still in this episode, we get everything. The music, I loved it. I think it might be a top 5 for me, maybe even going into top 4, which we're like on, I think 14 episodes now. Yeah. This is our 14th episode of Invincible. So to say it's in a top 5 or even a top 3, I mean, there's a lot of episodes, but this episode just has it all. I love all the relationship stuff in this one too. And like you, I think all said, this just feels like Invincible. This is what Invincible feels like when it's firing on all cylinders for all these points. It just feels like the comic. And like you said, TJ, there's some really fun changes from the comic in this too that kept us on our toes. You know, where a lot of season 2 so far, both the first, you know, 5 episodes or 4 episodes and so far have been really true to the comic, way more so than the first season. It was kind of fun to see some small changes in this episode. So very excited to talk all about it. Going to dive into the recap right now. Like I said, season 2, episode 6, titled It's Not That Simple, which comes from a conversation that Mark has with Art in the tailor shop, which we get in this episode. We've got the recap. And then what's great is that I think for the first time, we get to see, it rewinds a little bit. We see the scene of King Lizard, you know, talking to him, mm-hmm. to Rex, and pulling the trigger, which I'm glad it didn't just start with the bang. We got the build up again, because I'm sure everybody's thinking that, you know, he's going to get out of this. But it's, he pulls the trigger, shoots Rex in the head, and Rex falls down. And just a very... Yeah.
And that's different from the... Isn't in the comic, doesn't he react right away like, holy fuck, you shot me?
Yes.
Like, there was no, yeah. like, the, oh, he's dead moment.
The, mm-hmm. like, the being shot and the, like, Rex swinging around fighting is all, like, one moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, for him to just fall over...
This was a very cool way to start off the episode, because you're right that, like, almost every piece of media, when there's a gunshot as they cut to black, it's almost always, oh, it was somebody else who showed up and they shot the guy who was about to shoot somebody. Yep. And it's the person yep. you were worried about is not really dead. And for them to just open up the episode, even though, you know, he does survive, to have them open up the episode as violently as they do, with his eye going all red and like yeah. just the how gory it was a shock, even to us knowing kind of where the story's going.
Yeah.
Even though we do go into spoilers, I won't spoil it because it's very far into the future and there's really no point. But it reminded me of issue 100 and how that started.
Yeah. Yes. I was about to call out, TJ, like how it kind of just starts with a bang like that in a way that you might not expect, but very cool. Meanwhile, while this is happening, the other Guardians are struggling to fight off the Sequids as Rudy works on the device to stun them. Shapesmith protects him as Eve wakes up. He passes the device to the Immortal, but Invincible takes it, saying, I'm stronger and faster and you know it, so cover me. The Sequids get past Shapesmith and Eve as she protects herself and Rudy. Invincible stuns Russ with the device, freeing him from the Sequids, but Eve and Rudy are infected, which we saw a sneak peek of that in the trailer.
Don't forget, Immortal does not trust Mark. Like, so when Mark went up and like hit Immortal and took it from him, like the exchange that they had, the look on Immortal's face, I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was like the end of the first episode of season two, where it was like, oh, he doesn't like him at all. So
we haven't really seen them react that much this season. So
to one another. Yeah.
But I liked that as a moment of like, even though the Immortal doesn't trust him, it's like it was him acknowledging that like, you are right. You're faster and stronger than me. So I'm giving you this chance. And he says like, don't fail. Like if you mess this up, now we're going to have even bigger problems. But it's nice to see that sort of respect being earned between the two of them.
Yeah. And again, you know, the subtle differences from the comics, having that extra beat of Eve and Rudy being infected, even though it doesn't last long, it's like, all right, they pick them up and they use the button, you know, use the device again, just adds to it. And that was a nice little little addition to it.
Added a little bit of tension to the scene of like even us being like, what's going to happen here now?
And reminds the viewers that like this is a threat to humans, to everyone, like, because that's important for the end of the episode. While King Lizard is making demands on the phone, Rex sits up, blood squirting from his head, like mumbling to himself. And then he yells, I said, shut up. And then Rex just kicks his ass with his like stump hand, like with the bone.
He's just punching with the bone. That was hard. Was the most like, they do it real quick first. And I was like, did he punch him with the bone? And then he just goes into it.
Keeps going.
Oh, yeah, it was, it was a
lot. Lizard's face was completely fucked up. Yep. So good. I love how he was just like almost drunk fighting because he was so out of it.
Yeah. A little like,
And of course, like from the comic, you shot me. I can't believe you shot me in the head. Just like yelling at him.
Yeah.
The GDA guards rush in. They ask him if he's all right. And he's like, that's a weird question. I'm fine.
That was the funniest part. And that I'm fine. And it's like, psh,
psh.
I'm practically
so funny.
And we get the title card. For Invincible.
The best part
and then it
is,
cuts back.
Oh, when it came back. And then it came back.
And he's still smiling maniacally, like, oh.
But not speaking.
So and then just so passes good. Out. Oh, it's so funny. Yeah.
I think that the amount of, like, funny moments and great moments that Alan got in the first half of the season, in his episode specifically, this feels like Rex gets to have those moments in this half of the season. Like, he is getting to be... He's really getting to shine in this half of the season. It's very cool to see.
I don't know what made us laugh harder. That moment with Rex or a moment with Alan later, though. Like, they both have some great moments in this episode.
Yeah, that was good. That was quick and short, though, with Alan.
But then after... Mm-hmm. Go ahead, TJ.
Sorry, after season one ended, that was 2 years ago, or going on 3 years now, right? We still did the podcast, and we had people writing in, and every time someone would, like, bring up Rexplode or something, like, every time somebody would talk about it that didn't read the comic, I would say... Just wait until season two. Wait until season two. That is what I've been talking about, and they did it exactly the way it should have been done. Yeah, it was perfect.
You're happy with it? Like, they did it justice. This was one of the top three moments in all of Invincible, I think, you had going into the show.
For sure. Yeah, and it was awesome. So yeah, there it is.
He falls over, and the GA, you know, the GDA guards are like, "We gotta get him to an OR," but then it pans over to Komodo Dragon's, you know, severed neck from his head blowing up, and there's a noise and a movement, and we like what? Ray is alive? So Ray crawls out in one of the most gruesome deaths last episode that we talked about. Did not expect this at all. Obviously a change from the comic, but pretty crazy. What did you guys think?
Yeah, it was shocking that this happened, mostly just because, like, that, especially last episode, I think was one of the grossest moments in the entire show when, like, you think that she dies. So to see her then have to, like, claw her way out of it, and it looks like something has, like, almost been embedded in her skull even from the process, like, she looks just totally, like, messed up. But yeah, it was a shock. And even more gross. I'm kind of surprised the GDA agents weren't more, like, scared. They were just like, I think something's happening. Like, if you heard a groaning, I was expecting them to sort of, like, jump up and be like, is it still alive? But to have somebody crawl, it's just so ridiculous. It was crazy.
Yeah. I'm a little curious as to what comic readers think of whether or not this takes away from, you know, the intensity of this scene and, you know, like, characters dying and everything. And Rex being the only one to barely make it out. But
I think there's an objective reason as to why they did it. And I think it's because I said it to you, Ryan. I'm like, yeah, kind of like is tropey in that, like, oh, no one actually dies because, like, Rex didn't actually die. You know, Ray didn't actually die. And there were, it just seemed like there were more consequences in the comic. Like, it was just like dead.
Yeah.
But I feel like since they don't have as many benchmark heroes in this universe to,
that's,
you know,
point,
kill off in the future, they're going to have more people.
Oh, yeah. They did this intentionally. Like, they didn't want to do it just to keep her alive. I think they have other plans for her. So I trust.
But at the same time, we're saying, like, oh, nobody dies. Like, you know, she lived, Rexplode lived. But the thing was, like, and I could be wrong if I'm remembering this wrong, but I mean, Duplicate died, right? And if I'm remembering this wrong, let me know, but I feel like they made a much bigger deal about it in this episode than they did in the comic. And that's why I feel like it's okay that Shrinking Ray lived, because they made a bigger deal about Duplicate dying. And anybody who didn't read the comics is going to watch it and be like, oh, there are consequences here.
Yeah. No, yeah. True.
Yeah.
So
I didn't feel an absence of weight from that incident, like, especially as, which we're going to get to, as, like, the heroes that were on Mars return, you feel the weight of everything that happened to Rex and Ray and Kate and, like, that. So even though there are characters that survived that didn't, like you guys said, there's no shortage of upcoming events where we may not be losing more characters to. Right. So, like, I think that you're right that they're being very strategic about why they kept her alive.
Yeah.
So the Guardians that are in space are fleeing from the Sequids and are confronted by the Martians now that they're free. They demand that Shapesmith stay for punishment. Mark asks, what kind of punishment? They say death. And Mark says, I understand. And then it cuts to the music, the needle drop. We got a badass action scene with Invincible flying through all the ships and, you know, destroying them to, you know, give them a chance to escape. A good moment with, you know, Shapesmith, you know, talking about how he's only been on one of these ships once as a child during a school trip. And then obviously calling back to the last time with the astronauts in episode 4, season 1. Mark goes back onto the ship. There's an awkward hug with Eve and an even more awkward handshake with the immortal. With, you know,
I liked the hug moment because it's like a reverse of when Eve shows up on the ship on the beginning of the mission in last episode, where Mark rushes to her and hugs her and she's kind of like, whoa. Mark sort of has the same reaction. So you see that they both kind of have these feelings for each other where they're like excited to see each other or just like,
and then surprised,
and it's kind of catching the other person off guard because it's just never quite the right timing. Like it's very clever the way they're doing that.
That is good.
I also like that they're showing Mark be like heroic and being able to hold his own against like these spaceships and do badass stuff without constantly getting his ass kicked. So he's finally like getting to a point where he's invincible.
Yeah. Rudy tells Amanda that he was able to change himself and fix the problem in regards to feeling fear during all of that. He tells Amanda that he could do the same for her, but she tells him to stop. Love that line. We talked about it earlier this season with Rudy talking about like wanting to fix that problem, that what he sees as a problem. I love
foreshadowing.
I love that they're continuing this conversation. It is some of the best foreshadowing in the show as a comic reader they've done thus far.
Yeah, that's great.
Did you bring up
this is one of the benefits?
No, I didn't. This episode has like 6 songs. So, I don't know if I wrote any of them down.
There were two that I wrote down because I thought were awesome. This one was like Invincible going through and just destroying all the ships was Baby Drummer by Bad Nerves. And it was awesome. Really, really good. And there's another one later that I want to call out too. It was such a good scene.
Yeah, I do need to grab the name for one of them. But then we go back to the Grayson house. Debbie is changing Oliver's diaper while talking to Cecil about how the GDA wants, you know, Cecil wants the GDA to help her raise him. Oliver says, Mama. And she says, your mom is far, far away. And your dad, Debbie says that this is all about Mark. You know, it's about him finally having a brother and therefore he's family. So he's my family because this is Mark's brother. And then she drops a great line and says, let me remind you that I raised Mark and he's saved the world numerous times. So she insists.
That was a mic drop moment. That was like a. That makes a whole lot of sense because Cecil's talking about, you know, we're more suited to handle this kind of thing. And she was like, well, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Actually, you're welcome for Mark not turning evil and taking over the world. So, like, you know, I think I'll take the baby.
Yeah. And for Omni-Man stopping where he actually did, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's interesting watching this? Knowing what we know about Oliver. So Oliver, his species, because they live so shortly, they remember everything from birth. So, and Oliver talks about remembering everything from birth. So it's funny, like watching these scenes, hearing the way that Debbie is speaking, I'm like, ooh, is that going to hurt Oliver's feelings? Like the way that you're kind of talking, like I'm watching it with new eyes and I'm like, oh man,
I like it.
I wonder if that's going to
I like that because we know from the comic, and this isn't really a spoiler, that, like you said, Oliver remembers all these things. Mm-hmm. He will remember his mother, his birth mother, and he will remember that Debbie reminded him of his birth mother. You know what I mean? Like, she's not pretending that she doesn't exist. She's not spiteful towards her or anything like that, which I think is great for if he is going to remember all this in the show.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cute moment. And like you said, knowing what we know and knowing that Oliver is remembering more than a typical baby would, that like Debbie is trying to be very just transparent and like not trying to just take ownership over being his mother, but he's just like, no, you're mom now, like you're taking care of me and I already love you and you're mom. So like it just makes it even more adorable knowing that Oliver kind of remembers all of these things and he's not just a baby who just sees a woman taking care of him and says mom. Like it's almost like he's making a choice there.
Yeah. But he also has that Thraxan outlook where he's just constantly looking at the future. Like, yeah, he knows his mom is gone back there, but now he just cares about what's forward, which, man, like
the
foreshadowing and stuff like that, thinking about, all right.
We have a voice actor now for Oliver. Speaking of him talking, Lincoln Bowden, curious to see if it will be the same actor as Oliver ages and whether or not. Yeah.
Yeah.
cut to the Pentagon, where the spaceship has crashed and near the sign. Russ is back. They're, you know, wheeling him in through the halls, and he talks about how the Sequids don't sleep, so they never let him sleep. Great moment there.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Terrible,
that's
right?
Terrible. Yeah.
I like how, like, Eve so just starts talking right after that, too. Like that wasn't a horrifying
yeah.
thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, dude, just go to, moving go to, on. Go to sleep. Yeah. Just go to sleep.
And then I wrote down that we're then treated to a musical montage worthy of a Smallville funeral scene, where the immortal is in the room with all of the Kate bodies, Ray's in the bed looking like she's barely hanging on. And then we have Eve at the glass to the operating room as she cries while Rex is being operated on.
With her hand on the window.
Yeah. Yeah, this scene.
That was a moment where I was like, man, Rex really must have burnt a lot of bridges, because nobody except Eve is at his window. Yeah. Everyone else was hanging out by Ray, and it was just Eve by Rex's window. But yeah, the music playing in the scene was the moment where I was like, man, the show does music cues so well. Like, yeah. they do such a good job of taking a scene that I don't think I would have been that emotional about, especially knowing the comic and knowing where things are going.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it makes you get emotional seeing these characters reacting and realizing that like a bunch of their friends either got killed or almost got killed while they were gone. Like,
and again, playing off of last episode, and TJ, I bet you love this too, the connection between him and Eve, and really making that clear. Like, and later in this episode, we learn more about her and Rex. Like, they're making it very clear that they had a relationship. They were very, very close.
There are things, I was going to save this, but I'm going to say it now because you alluded to it. They keep talking about the relationship that Rex and Eve had. They keep alluding to like Rex's mm-hmm. past. And again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but later on, like, Eve brings him magazines in the hospital and says he likes home makeover magazines, home decoration magazines, probably because he's never had a home. More little things. We mm-hmm. have to be getting an Invincible Presents Adam, Eve, and Rexplode.
There's so
we
much.
Have to. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
TJ, normally I disagree with you on pretty much everything, but the seeds are there and the little hints.
But it's, you know, one of those things that
to pique people's interest.
Whether we're getting it or not, they're not seeds. They're just character development. And like, yeah, it's so great that even if we never got it, it's so great that it still exists. Like, it still happened.
But it's like, why doesn't Rex have a home? And why was he staying Eve's bedroom for a year and a half? Like, there's more than just like tidbits. They have to connect the dots eventually. Come on.
But if you think about the Invincible Universe, like, he did that all the time. Like, he at the end of the series, when he just created a world that can continue to keep going, like, regardless of whether or not we know the stories and stuff like that. Yeah. But I bet, pizza bet, that the Adam Eve presents, or Invincible presents Adam Eve and Rexplode, will be the like the season 2-3
between 2 and 3,
zero. It's going to be the episode. Yeah, it's going to be the.
I hope so.
100%.
Yeah, it'll be what, season 3 episode 0, just like Adam Eve is.
Yeah.
I hope so. It does seem like at the end of season 1, if you were to say they were going to do an episode really focused on Rexplode specifically, I'd be like, meh, I don't know if that would necessarily, if I could see them leaning into that character. They've done so much in this season, and especially just in these two episodes, to kind of make you curious about Rex, mm-hmm. make you sympathize with him a little bit more, make you see that he's more of a three-dimensional character than maybe he seemed in season 1, that I could totally see, in the same way that, like, as season 2 was starting up, it felt like this like push of Adam Eve stuff with the game, with the special episode, with all of the stuff happening around Eve, even Ryan Ottley's like boxes that he was doing at Comic-Con with the Eve cover on them. I could see them doing a similar thing between seasons 2 and 3 with Rex, where it's like, we're going to have this special episode. There's going to be a few different tie-in stuff. Like, I would be excited for it. So I hope so.
It makes sense. That would be great.
Get ready, TJ, because it's going to be a Rexplode bonanza. All the merch that you've been wanting is coming.
I fucking hope so. But I mean, Matt's got some work to do over at the merchandise. He promised me. I promised him.
Oh, yeah.
I promised him that if I get a Rexplode shirt or some kind of hoodie or merchandise, I would I'd call him out.
Yeah. That song was Dream Team by Aiden Knight. Oh, and that moment with Immortal and seeing all the Kates in like the morgue, like Jesus. Okay. We do get a shot of Mark in that scene taking his mask off, and they do this interesting like cut where he's standing in Amber's room. It's just something they haven't done before.
Yeah.
And you know,
it was a cinematic cut.
They hold each
other.
Mark walks home. I'm sorry. Mark walks into his home while Oliver is stumbling around. He asks Oliver, "Do you named him after Grandpa?" And Oliver calls him Bra-Bra.
So cute.
Quick little scene just to show more Oliver.
Give him a name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at Kate's funeral. The Immortal speaks about Kate Cha. He mentions that her powers were from a family curse. Again, just putting that out into the universe. Mm-hmm. Will it become something else? Will we learn more? We'll see. But just, yeah. One line that he said was, her real power was her unwavering belief that this world was good, despite it killing her over and over again.
Great line.
Right? What?
And the Immortal is such a boring character, but what a great line. That was like a presidential speech right there. He's had practice.
He has had practice.
Exactly.
And I'm glad we got this kind of moment that exists in the comic too, between him and Samson. The moment where they walk away and the Immortal and Marcus, you know, he calls him Marcus. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, I thought we had more time together, as it pans away.
I really I don't normally like funeral scenes. I think they're boring, and I think that I'm done with them after this one. But I really liked Immortal. I'm emotionally done. I'm like, all right, fast forward. People mourning, whatever. I really liked Immortal saying, at least it's not raining. Like, there's just something about that. Like, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
So it was good for a funeral scene. And I love a good funeral scene.
Yeah. I thought they did a good job. Because we didn't get to see them be together very much for very long. And I think they leaned into that too, with that moment where him crying and being like, I've lost and loved so many people. Why is this one hitting me the way it did? And it, you know, ending with him saying, I thought we had more time together. And especially finding someone that we learn from Kate talking to Rex, why they are so compatible.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, guys.
I thought that was kind of weird though. Cause I mean, dude, you're like 1,000 years old. You've been dating her for 2 months.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. But that's the problem is like,
the love was so strong.
He's used to living their entire lives
That's the thing. I mean, it made it sound like not only did he find someone that can share in this very, very, very unique thing about him, that is a big thing about him, but she was also taking so soon. So I think that's what they leaned into. Because, no matter what, TJ, it's not going to be emotional. But if they got to give it a reason, I think those are really good reasons. So,
yeah.
I suppose. Mrs. Lincoln is not happy about it, though.
Mark and Amber are at a coffee shop. Mark picks up 2 lattes where the foam looks very much like 2 broken hearts. They stumble over each other's words. And Mark mentions Amber asks how Oliver's doing. And Mark mentions that, Debbie's, still has to chew his food. And there's this, I love the way in which Mark is so casual about this. You know, he wasn't born without the enzymes needed to break down his food. Hopefully his Vulturemite side will kick in soon. And Amber is just like stunned. Like she just doesn't know how to process or what to say to that. Yeah. And things are very, very awkward. They both talk about how it feels like it's a first date. And then it's
Mark says a bad first date.
And then they're pretty open here. They talk about how they expected college to be a little bit more of a cliche college experience where they're having parties and hanging out together. But instead they are actually hanging out less now. Amber hates how much she's lying to everybody about where he is and what he's doing. And they talk about how it feels like they're missing it. Like they're missing this part of their life. Mark says that he wishes he didn't have powers so he could just be normal with her. And she says, but you do have powers, which means you have an obligation. And if you didn't, if you weren't that person, then we wouldn't even be together. And it ends with Mark saying, so what do we do now? These conversations, and there's a lot more of these, were handled so well. You know, we just talked for a while about the Immortal One and the thing with Kate. Like, there's so much in these conversations that you could pick apart. And they, it was tough, especially with the later relationship conversation, writing the notes for this, because it's just so much back and forth and every line has a lot of meaning behind it.
Yeah, I think a lot of like TV shows and movies, when they're showing a relationship start to like break up, it feels very abrupt. And there's always just like one moment where like something snaps and then it's very dramatic and it's people yelling at each other instead of just talking about how they're feeling and what the problems are. And this is such, I feel like they did such a good job of two people like trying to make it work, realizing it's not really working, and then just having a conversation about it and being open about their feelings and talking. Like, it makes them both feel very mature and makes them feel like full, like, three-dimensional characters rather than so just many, like, snapping and getting mad of, oh, you're never around, or does like, it's I really liked
it. I feel like there are so many shows these days where they do that thing where they're not communicating just for tension's sake or for story's sake, you know what I mean, just to kind of like add to the drama of it. But especially this episode, everybody is talking, everybody is communicating to everybody, like, whether it's Mark and Immortal or Rudy and Amanda or Mark and Eve or Mark and Amber or Mark, like, Debbie and Cecil, like, they're all saying what they want to say, and it's very clear in this episode. I don't know.
That was even good. Mark communicating to Alan so Alan could communicate to him.
Oh my God. This episode is about communication.
So much communication.
I pulled a quote because I thought it was good. The song in the background is called 4-0 by the Undercover Dream Lovers. And I don't know if it was the verse or one of the chorus, but I thought it was good. So I'm going to read it. Try to change my mind in the last chance, looking straight at you for another dance. I really want to know, am I going to change for someone? Always stuck in place is no fun. So again, they know what they're doing when they're picking these songs.
Yeah, they do.
Mark returns to his dorm room. Donald is there because Rick is back. William is ecstatic. Donald projects a bit about how, with Mark talking about how he's basically the same guy. Donald says that there's, you know, he went through something pretty traumatic and it can always find a way to, you know, come through, you know. Rick is now voiced by Luke McFarlane. Not a big change to me. Especially because he was a different person now. Like, he's kind of a different person in a way now after what he's been through. But it was one of those things that, I mean, this is the first time we've had a voice change. It was a little noticeable, but I think it fits and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's I think a lot less emotive than, what's the first Kristoff from Frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Gans? Gans? The hell is his name?
Oh my God. It's gonna drive me crazy. Go ahead. I'll look it up.
Anyway, so he was a lot less emotive. Like,
Goff? Was it Matt? Goff?
Jonathan Groff.
Jonathan Groff.
Jonathan Groff.
That was without looking it up.
We did it.
Woo! We did it. Anyway, so Jonathan Groff was very much more animated and like emotional. You know, in the scenes with like D.A. Sinclair and stuff like that. And this one, Rick is just very kind of like stoic and like not really all there. And to your point, Ryan, I think it fits with like what he's gone through.
Agreed. Yeah.
Back at the Pentagon, Mark is visiting with Rex. Rex says that he saw his life flash before his eyes when he was shot in the head, and he feels like shit for treating all the women in his life the way he did. Mm-hmm. Mark says, and from the trailer, we go around saving lives while ruining them at the same time. Rex can tell that Mark is sad about something and asks what his problem is.
I like the way he asked. He was like, come on, tell me why your face is like that. You know, it's all sad and stuff. Like, he doesn't know how to ask somebody why they feel sad because he's never really done that before. Like, it's a new thing for Rex to try and be empathetic to somebody else.
Yeah.
Not only that, but we never get an invincible Rexplode one-on-one. I don't think we've ever had a conversation where they're just the two of them in a room and the whole scene is just the two of them. So I thought that was cool. Yeah.
I remember feeling that way in the comic too, of like, oh, this is a dynamic that we don't always see. Like, how do these two people feel about each other? Because, you know, it's clear that they maybe both have feelings for Eve still in a way. Like, it's an interesting pairing that I would love to see more of.
Yeah. Mark doesn't say anything because we cut to Eve walking down the hall. Mark bumps into her, though, after leaving Rex's room. She's bringing Rex home decorating magazines. Like TJ said, you know, she says, I think it's because he never really had a home. Mark leaves, and it's a bit awkward. When she goes into the room, Rex is stoked to get the magazines. Also mentions that the internet sucks, and he's like, because she says you're the only person that reads magazines. Mm-hmm. He alludes to Amber, though, that Mark, I'm sorry, to Eve, that Mark and Amber's relationship is over, though. And
I love that Mark didn't tell Eve.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's because it just feels like everything's for the right reason. Like, Eve isn't like the rebound. You know what I mean? Like, Mark's really does still love Amber.
And if Mark has feelings for Eve, he wouldn't talk to her about that, especially because it's, as we find out, like, they didn't break up. They're just going through a rough spot, which is what he clearly told Rex.
Like taking a break.
So it's like, maybe, but that's what I mean. It's, I didn't take it as they were broken up. We'll talk more about that, I think.
I took it as Mark said a lot of the similar things that he probably says to Art later on, and that Rex is making assumptions based on that, being like, they're not going to last.
Yeah,
like, that was the read I got from it.
You know, Rex sticking his tongue out, I don't think it was a, oh, they're done. It was more of a, oh, they're not going to last.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Debbie is interviewing for a nanny position and kicks out Mary Poppins. She knows Cecil spies when she sees one. April arrives at the door and immediately comes clean about being sent by Cecil. She's incredibly qualified and fully briefed on everything. Debbie is concerned about her connection to Cecil, but she assures her that she works for Debbie, not Cecil. And I like that she says, there's only a few people out there that have my, you know, level of experience and qualifications. Yeah. Which means I can work for whoever I want, and I don't work for him. I work for you. And we get Oliver saying Mama boss.
So adorable.
Yep.
This is, she's, I'm also so glad we're in the era of Oliver, that Oliver is here. Yeah. He's going to be cute, and then he's going to get older and be other things. And I'm just excited.
doesn't April have like other qualifications too, like that set her apart? Like, wasn't she a lawyer at some point too? Or
no, like, are you might be confusing her with Super Patriot's wife in the comic.
Oh no, it's because she's voiced by Ally McBeal, who was
Come on, yes. Callista Flockhart. good one. Eve arrives at her treehouse where Cecil is waiting for her. Interesting line. Reminds me of where I grew up.
Yeah, I found that very interesting.
Cecil before. Yeah. Cecil wants to thank Eve personally for helping and offer her a spot on the team once again. Eve isn't sure what kind of hero she is and doesn't think that that's the right kind of person they need on the team. So she offers that, you know, she'll help out anytime, you know, she's needed, but otherwise she's going to pass. Then Cecil says, all right, I'll leave you to your guest then. And which was a cool line. And it's like, what? And
it's very, very Nick Fury. Very totally. Like, I know everything that's happening around here. Yeah.
Amber shows up huffing and puffing, looking around. She's like, you know, I must've walked past your treehouse 3 times. Can we talk? So great moment. It was like, oh shoot, it's happening. Like, Mark walks into Art's tailor shop and he would also like to talk. And Art says, ah, girl trouble. I've just got some bullet points here.
Let me just say this. I thought this was a genius way to keep Art relevant and in the show. Such a cool, like, you know, scene to insert him into.
Yeah.
And we're not necessarily in the meat of the scene yet and talking about what he talks to Art about. But I do love that, because there is a similar version of this scene in the comics where he goes to Art. But when he goes to Art in the comics, it's very much that he realizes he has feelings for Amber and for Eve. And it's this, like, which girl do I pick type of dilemma. And that's not what this one is. Like, I do like that change, that it's less of a obvious love triangle and it's more of a, I have to be a superhero and I don't, and that's making it really hard to have this relationship with this girl that I care about, because I feel like I'm not doing what I should do for her. And that has complicated things. Like, I like that that made it a little more complex than just like, well, I like this girl, but I like this girl. And like, what do I do?
Yeah. Here's a couple points that come up. Mark mentions that he loves Amber. Art says that relationships are hard for everyone, regardless of whether or not you have superheroes. Eve talks about how she's only ever dated Rex. She's super embarrassed by that. And, you know, she said that it just made sense until he lied so much and cheated on me. Amber said that, yeah, getting through the lying was rough, but that was past. You know, we were over that. She talks about how, you know, Mark just puts himself on the line. Mark says that Amber makes me a better person. Amber says that Mark, and this was the moment that we talked about last episode. Amber says that Mark has to just drop everything and go sometimes. And then Eve picks it up and says, including you. And I'm pretty sure we said the exact same thing last episode when that happened. They both feel like jerks for not being there. And then they feel guilty when they are there about being envious of the time spent away from each other. Mark says that she deserves better than what Omni-Man did to, you know, what Nolan did to him and his mother. Amber says, you know, now I'm the liar instead of him, because now I have to carry this weight of lying to everybody, you know, now that I know, whereas before it was him lying to everybody. They both feel like they're failing the other. And then we get the moment where, you know, they both say that. And then both Eve and Art say, why are you talking to me when you should be talking to her? Again, this is the communication episode.
And then, of course, you know, Eve goes on to be with Mark, and then Amber goes on to be with Art. So,
works yes, out. Of course.
Yeah, they flip a wedding.
I love this. I love this. I've always had a soft spot for, you know, the moments in Africa and all the, you know, the stuff between Amber and Eve in the comics. And with how much hate Amber got for season one, the character, and how, you know, we knew we talked about how they were going to deal with the relationship and how they were going to deal with this character and what they were going to do. I think they're knocking it out of the park. I absolutely love the way they're handling it and the conversations they're having about it and making both characters, it makes sense. Like, what they're saying is just so, you know, realistic and true that you can't really argue with it. And it does put them in a really tough position.
Do you think there's going to be like celebratory memes and GIFs of people like, thank you, like if that Amber's
I think if
finally,
it would have been,
they're finally kind of like,
if Amber like died or something like that, then yes, there would have been, but they're like doing it in a way that it's like this is a very matter
they're
of
not
fact.
Gonna I don't think they're gonna have a redemption or like a will they won't they get back together kind of thing. I really do think that this is just done. It's done.
Which is interesting because it's not as of this ending. Like, and even in the comic, this conversation with Art, Mark ends the conversation with, then I'm going to be with Amber. I want to be with Amber. Mm-hmm. They are together. They're going to be together for longer. So it's like, but this is clearly the tipping point. And it's, I'm curious to see what happens over the next two episodes to continue this thread.
Yeah, I could see. I agree. I don't think their relationship is done by any means from this episode. I could see next episode, their next conversation is both of them talking to each other, being like, hey, we both feel awful and this isn't working. So why are we trying to make it work still?
Like, yes, because we do have another Amber scene. Next. And that is a little more telling, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think
there needs to be. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, needs to be what?
Closure? I don't think there needs to be that extra scene. Like, I agree with what you guys are saying when it comes to like, yeah, like maybe they didn't break up. Maybe there needs to be more. I mean, there's gonna be more, but I could also see it as they did break up. Like we didn't get confirmation on one or the other.
Conversation with both Eve and Art left it at like you need to talk. You need to go talk about this.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I have a prediction that I made in season one time, and now I'm feeling more about it, that they're going to rekindle their love and that Angstrom is going to kill Amber.
Oh, you're crazy.
There's no point to keep Amber alive. There's no point.
They wouldn't.
And they could really pull up people's heartstrings and do it.
But to Ryan's point earlier, I think they want to avoid rewarding any of the people who were like, Amber sucks and I hope she's written off the show, and I hope like the people that were instead of hating on Amber, I think if she was to get killed, even after everything that's happened so far in this season, I feel like people would be like, oh, good riddance, and it wouldn't be as much of a like pulling on your heartstrings moment. And I think the way that they're doing it now, to the what I was saying earlier, I like this more because it does feel like two actual people who are just realizing that like this relationship is not really making either of us happy. It's just kind of making us feel, you know, sad and dead.
Yeah, like I feel like they got all the way to the end. They just need to have the conversation now, and then it's then the relationship is over. To kill her feels like a waste of all this great mature communication that they pulled off.
Plus, it would significantly delay Mark and Eve. It should significantly delay Mark and Eve.
Sure.
You just be like, oh yeah, bitch is dead. I'm just gonna like doing anything. Want to grab a burger? Burger Mark.
Actual dialogue from the show. I'm sure it's gonna how it's gonna be gonna go.
I don't think they will be together at the end of next episode. I think the conversation that they are going to have. I think
Yeah, at the very least. I mean, we only have two more, so I think at the very least they're not making out of this season.
Yeah, and I don't see it happening in the finale. Well, I don't know. We'll see. All right. Great scene. Moving on. We've got Mark then mentions to Art that, you know, the read my books line, and Art gives Mark a copy of all of Nolan's sci-fi novels that was given to Art as a payment by Nolan. William is showing Rick around the college campus. Rick is the only one to recover from D.A. Sinclair. He sees flashes sometimes and has lines such as, am I me again, William? Who am I if I can't remember what I'm missing? And William says that we'll get through this together. Mark reads The Man with the Invincible Gun in the dorm room. And as he sits down and starts reading it, you hear Mark narrate. And then Nolan takes over the narration, which is so cool. And we get just like this great like Saturday morning cartoon scene of Space Rider shooting his gun at these aliens and it blowing up a star. It's such a cool introduction to the character. Mark picks up the second one. Nolan takes over the narration again, and we get to see the Ragnars, the story about them and, you know, gravity being higher on this planet and making these creatures be so strong. And
that was a brutal and scary scene. Very scary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did a really good job with mm-hmm. the look of the Ragnars, the way they move, the threat of them is pretty cool.
If I could request one piece of merch so far from this season, I want the same way that Marvel did the like Ant-Man book where you can buy his book.
Oh yeah.
Let me buy The Man with the Invincible Gun. Man. Like just give me a book. Even if it's just a note and it's empty inside, just give me that book. That would be cool.
That's cool. Yeah. Have them, you're saying, even if they're like notebooks, but the cover looks like the cover of the book.
Yeah exactly. Cool.
I like that. There you go. Free ideas. Mark figures it out, but we don't know what it is yet. We cut to Cecil talking to the Immortal at the base, insisting that he takes a vacation. Immortal is very offended by this. He refuses. He doesn't want the shrinks picking around in his brain. And in that moment, someone is entering Earth's atmosphere. We get another line of the Immortal saying Omni-Man and flying away.
Because every time, I feel like the majority, all I hear is, where is Omni-Man?
Yeah. I know. Even though this one was really subtle, it's just, I still like in my head picture him saying it like
that. If I try to remember what he said this time, I hear that one.
Yeah.
Omni-Man!
Exactly.
So, we were talking earlier about like, oh, do you think like there could be memes about this? Similar to the way that there are Lisan al Gaib memes of Dune, I can see there being like, he's evil, like Omni-Man sent you, like no matter what's happening, I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cut to Alan staring at Earth where there's a beat, and then he says, where did his invincible say he lived again? The Immortal attacks him. There's a lot of confusion about communicating. Immortal's like, how can I hear you in my head? And he's just punching first. He says he's looking for Invincible, and he's like, Invincible, Omni-Man sent you. Like, he's just obsessing. He pokes Alan in the eye, and that was a step too far for Alan. Invincible shows up, separates them, and there's just the greatest moment of the communication, because Alan can only communicate with one of them. They can't communicate together. Invincible's like, okay, can you tell him this then? Alan says, okay, so Mark says that I'm cool. I'm also like the king of space, and he hates your dumb beard because it's missing all the best parts, specifically these parts. It's so good.
One of the funniest lines of the show so far, yeah, of him just like deciding to ad lib some extra stuff that Mark is saying. Yeah.
Then, you know, they get Immortal. They convince Immortal that, you know, he attacked when he shouldn't have. Immortal flies back down to Earth. Alan says, what's that guy's problem? And Mark says, well, his girlfriend just died. And he's like, well, now I'm the dude. I feel like the douchebag. Alan was just great.
Oh, that was funny too. The douchebag thing. Cause he kept saying, he's like, you guys have douchebags, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I keep saying it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it wouldn't matter if you don't have it.
Yep.
Great.
They say, can we go, you know, can we get out of space and go talk somewhere? We now see Amber at a party with a lot of familiar faces, including the guy from last season. Yeah. Last season with, the Reanimen, the college. She goes to text, I miss you. We get the text up on the screen and instead decides to delete it and just go back to the party. Mark and Alan arrive at the dorm. Mark puts the sock on the door and Alan says, you know, on my planet, sock on the door means somebody's fucking. And we die. Like, that was...
And Mark replying, like, yeah, that's what it means here, too.
Yeah.
Good.
So good.
So good. I mean, Seth Rogen, man, he's, like, he is Alan, and he's killing it. And
he's
it's,
Alan.
It's, he is. This is it. This episode was the solidification of, like, I hear Alan. Like, that's Alan. And he's, it's so good. Mark comments on Alan's size. Alan says, oh, apparently that's what happens when, you know, you get attacked by a bunch of Viltrumites and you're me. He tells him that Thetis is also a Viltrumite. They need to get his father involved, and Mark fills him in on everything that's happened. Alan talks about how, you know, well, Viltrumites are weird about killing their own people. Maybe that's why, you know, that they haven't killed him yet. But he asks Mark to come with him to space. Mark refuses, saying he's been going to space way too much. Things with Amber, you know, and he just needs to stay home. He's not going. Does this mean we have to fight? Alan's like, no, I'll win.
I don't feel bad.
And I don't feel bad. It's a vicious cycle. But he does say that he's got something that could help. He gives Alan the books to scan. And they have the whole conversation about, no, that's Space Racer. And I know this guy and that he's a legend. He might not actually exist. And then so, you know, Mark says that I think these were written by my dad about things that could hurt Viltrumites. So Alan scans them. He's going to take them back. He agrees to ask around about a Viltrumite prison that he's heard of. But when Mark says that when he's there, or when the fight is actually here, you can count on him. Alan leaves, and then you hear a knock on the door, and William says, are you and Amber done yet? It's been hours. I need to sleep. Good moment there.
Yeah.
Cut to the actual Viltrumite prison, and we go past multiple cells, seeing a bunch of different aliens. General Krieg is talking to Nolan, and he gives Nolan a chance to redeem himself and say, like, you, it's not too late for you. You know, he says that, you know, he mentions that they don't, they won't kill him until he's fully healed and worthy of being killed. And Nolan refuses. He doesn't speak. And General Krieg leaves, saying, how did a mere moment on Earth turn you into such a weak traitor? If Earth can do this to you, then it will share in your fate. Basically, you know, Nolan slams the floor. And I thought the episode was going to end there, but we still get another scene before the credits. Russ Livingston, the actual Russ Livingston, is walking around his apartment, really pissed off about that alien because he just trashed his whole place. There's food everywhere. He picks up something gross, starts gagging, and goes to the sink, throws up in the sink. And you see a little swirl as Esequid lunges out of the water onto his face.
That's really gross. Really disgusting.
Really gross. Yeah.
out of his puke, like, ugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
So,
and just a sink full of wet stuff on top of that. Yeah. Almost as disgusting as the Lizard League fight. I'll put it out there.
There you go.
That's just as gross to me.
Hashtag soon. And then we get credits as he opens his eye and it's Sequids. Mid-credit scene, Angstrom Levy is getting fitted for a jacket in an alternate universe. He's asked what the occasion is, and then he's going to go visit an old friend. He walks through multiple dimensions, including one that is Jurassic-looking, a zombie universe, the Arctic, before arriving back home. And that's the end of episode six.
Is it his home?
I took it as his home. Not Mark's home.
Like his
that's
original
his home.
With evil Mark.
Interesting.
That's what I thought.
Ooh.
I don't think that's him.
No, because destroyed and everything. Times Square. Universe.
I think we're getting this mixed up. The evil Invincible, the scene that we got with like paralyzed Eve, that Angstrom Levy is not the Angstrom Levy that we're looking at now. That Angstrom Levy from that dimension was pulled in to another dimension, and then he fucking like merged and died.
Yeah, by this one. By this guy.
Yeah. So his home is not evil Invincible. Or it could be. We don't know.
I think it looked very much
home because
I think his home is Mark's dimension, our dimension A, whatever, because that's where he was created. That's where all of his memories became one. He doesn't have a singular home anymore because he has all of the memories. So I think he's referring to being back on Mark's home dimension. Yeah.
Our main universe.
Like, it would be really interesting though if it wasn't, because and his dimension, because we haven't seen his real dimension, but he did talk about it though, right?
He talked about the only thing that we know is that most dimensions Mark is evil.
Yeah. So if he was back at
presumably he would be.
Then he could be recruiting, but I think it's meant to be him coming back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was interesting getting the jacket. Like the suit coat, because in the comic he shows up wearing like a trench coat. So I wonder if they're subbing out the suit coat for the trench coat, because he does randomly just show up again now wearing a trench coat. You know, you picture him.
I think I do wonder about that too, and I wonder if like Kirkman's original intention with writing that was like, oh, he wants to show Invincible that he has like dressed up for this occasion. Mm-hmm. Like he's to the point where he's like trying to like scare him a little bit.
Interesting. I like that. So that does it.
He is wearing a suit coat.
No, he's wearing a brown like a trench coat.
Suit.
Yeah, it's a different color. Yeah.
But he's got the tie. He's got the
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So question.
Yeah.
So we're about to, you know, our next thing that we're gonna be doing is watching the third episode, or really the seventh episode of season two.
Mm-hmm.
Does episode 7 end with Angstrom on the couch?
I think so.
Ooh, yeah, that would
I
be
think
good
so, one. Man. You got one of the most famous, like, iconic cliffhangers in comics, in the Invincible comic. Man, that'd be an awesome ending.
Yeah. It feels like if this is the season of Angstrom, which it kind of is, like, bookending at least, that in the same way that, like, We Need to Talk was the cliffhanger from episode 7 of season one. That would be a perfect before the finale cliffhanger. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it is another one of those moments, another We Need to Talk and here it goes.
It's about to go down type of moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think what happens after that moment would be the first half of an episode instead of the second. Mm-hmm. No, maybe not. I don't know.
We will know soon.
Yeah. Very excited for the next one. Soon. Can't wait for these last two. All right, we've got our doodles. Everybody ready for your doodles?
Guess so.
What's your guys' favorite scene?
Favorite scene?
For me, just to get it out of the way, obviously is the Rexplode stuff. That's it. Obviously the Rexplode stuff. We talked about
honestly the Rexplode, the Rexplode title card and then cutting back to Rexplode afterwards was probably the most I've ever like simultaneously been grossed out and laughed at the show. Like, it's a very unique scene for the show, I feel like. So that might be my favorite.
I think it's a toss up between that and Alan and Immortal with Mark in space.
That was so good.
But I think, yeah,
I like seeing Space Racer. Liked reading the books and the narration and everything. That was fun.
Oh, the Ragnars. Yeah, there was just
this
a lot.
Episode,
there was a lot of good.
A lot of good.
It's great. It's great.
But what did you choose to draw, TJ?
Me first?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just picking
someone. Yeah.
Okay, I can go first.
Should we guess? Should we guess what TJ drew first? I'm going to say Rex. We've had so many great Rex moments. I'm just going to guess that Rex is in your drawing somehow.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Maybe Rex reading a home decor or something.
Maybe. Oh, that's what I was just going to say. Reading a magazine.
I think. Yeah. What you got?
So last episode was a big Rex episode, but I was very last minute with the drawing. So I drew Alan. So I had to draw Rex this time. But
yeah,
kind of, but not really. A little bit of just a little piece of Rex.
I was gonna say that.
Yes. That's so gross.
We gotta pretend also great that his blood is pink because my red marker ran dry.
So. It looks great.
So good. So good. Great. Reminder to take a picture and I'll post them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I considered that one, TJ. I did consider that one. Bill drew.
Oh, really?
So
Bill,
I'm going to
say... I know what he drew.
Go ahead.
He drew Space Racer.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, too. Same thing.
Yeah.
It had
that
to be Space Racer.
I had thought... I did not draw Space Racer, but I thought about it, so I think maybe
I thought about it. I realized it was a person, and I cannot...
Or I'm going to say Bill drew a Ragnar. Maybe he drew a Ragnar.
That's a good one, too.
So, guys, in hindsight, 2020, I definitely should have, because this is the worst thing. And I was saying before we started recording that I actually took time. I took this downstairs, trying to get the anatomy.
Are there color
at one point?
Did you do color
at one point? At one point, Liz was like, "Are you drawing a sandworm?" And I was like, "No, Liz. No, that is Rex's arm from my perspective."
Oh my god!
Punching,
nice.
Punching
okay,
I
love no, it. It's
supposed
not terrible.
To be,
I love
it. To be first person perspective.
King
of
Lizard.
Yeah, I love it.
But it does look like a sandworm or a graboid from Tremors.
Yeah,
I love it.
Phil,
this might be terrible. One of the first times that we've had multiple drawings of almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Of like the severed hand, because we usually have not been double enough.
Bill, you not only drew a person, but then you also drew an arm and wanted it to be first person. You took on so much, but it's very good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, you really did.
That's a challenge.
I appreciate the ambition.
I'll go. Any guesses? Right. Mine's it's pretty obvious.
Let's I think it's say a, he
the kind of things
drew.
I draw.
Ooh, it's a sock on the door.
Dude,
yeah, I could
do
that.
I had it pulled up. I was going to do it. If this was going to be too hard, I was going to erase it and do the sock on the door. But you're so close. You're so close.
I don't have a guess.
You're right.
There's so many little things that happen this episode that I'm trying to think. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Stack of books?
Nope.
A stack of books?
Nope. You ready?
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The two lattes with the broken heart.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Indeed. Very nice.
Everyone's getting so much better the more we do these.
No, I'm just
and I'm getting worse.
The very first one of this season, I drew three people. And the immortal's legs and everything like that. And from that moment on, I'm like, I'm not drawing people anymore.
No more people.
They're so hard. So now
I think that's my problem. That's all I've done is draw people. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm not drawing until next one. I'll probably draw a person.
That's us giving a tip of the hat to all the animators and Corey Walker and Ryan Otley. Like, it's hard out there, you know, drawing people.
It'd be hard.
It's difficult.
What you all got?
Right, I have mine. Any guesses? Guesses first.
Has it been shown already?
No, mine is new.
I also kind of feel like somebody has to do Space Racer. Somebody has to.
I did consider it, but he's like a human
Man.
Plus more weird stuff that would be even harder to draw.
Something Oliver?
Again, too cute. Too cute. I can't capture it on a whiteboard.
Something.
So mine well, this is going to get educational here. Mine's a bit of a diagram. We've got
oh my god.
Here's according to Alan the Alien. And we have what Immortal has, and then we have the best part.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
That might be one of my favorites. That is
so
really
good.
Yeah, that line was probably one of the funniest moments of the episode, so I had to capture it.
That's awesome. Well, if you're watching this or listening to this and you want to send in your doodles, you could send them over to theinvinciblepodcast@gmail.com. We'll include them at the top of the next episode, which I cannot wait to talk about. We're so close, guys. And as of this recording, we're so close to the show being live for everybody. Very exciting stuff. Invincible is back. So much is going on. Remember, you can email us your thoughts on the episodes as well as your doodles over at theinvinciblepodcast@gmail.com. Go to theinvinciblepodcast.com for a list of all of our episodes and another way to contact us. That does it for us, though. Anything else before we go, guys? Any other last-minute thoughts or predictions? We get in Anissa next episode?
Anissa will be 100%. Next, yes, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, has to be Anissa and then Angstrom in the finale. Like, I think what you were saying before, TJ, of like the tease at the end of next episode to set up Angstrom, mm-hmm. and then the finale will be big.
I also think we get, again, bail out now if you don't want any light spoilers about the next couple episodes of what we think. Bail out now. I also think that we might get Ellen talking to Nolan at the end of the finale. Like, ooh, that's going to be the big reveal at the end, the something that Nolan says to Ellen. And that fight scene. Oh, if we get the prison,
the four letter.
When do you think we
sentence.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. When do we see the alternate Invincible that we saw in the trailer?
Dude, I was thinking about that.
Seen it? Like, when do you guys and think we see? I feel like maybe that's a tease in the finale. Like, if it's just basically the same way they teased it in the trailer, I don't know.
What if they snuck that in there and that's just a shot from season three?
Yeah, that too.
I don't know. I mean, unless he is at his home, which is a different home with a bad Invincible, and he's just recruiting next episode. Yeah. Or we just, I don't know. I don't know how he'll fit in. I'm very curious. Yeah. So we'll see. All right, guys, that does it for us. Have a good one. See you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, Mike is staying right there. I'm talking right about here. Volume loud, quiet.
Bill's face.
Are you excited at all? What happens when you get excited?
Should I turn it down then?
Say no!
No.
No, say no!
I don't... No!
Not, I mean, just loudly.
I don't get... No! But again,
sounds
that's...
okay.
I'm turning
it sounds
it
a little bit quieter than you normally are.
So turn it up. I can't tell if this the concern is
you should definitely turn it up right now.
Okay.
You sound quiet.
This is, I feel like, where I normally have it. Like, around...
That was loud.
Around
that
here.
That felt loud.
How about right about there?
I feel like I could live with that.
Please make the like, post-credits thing you just going, no!